Hi, my name is Harikrishna Menon. I'm the program manager for NuGet. I'm here today to talk about the NuGet product in general. Primarily, we'll focus on three different things. First is how to create NuGet packages. Second is how to publish those packages. And finally is how to think about moving into the new way NuGet manages its dependencies. And if you have time in the end, we'll do a little more deep dive into how to share code in the .NET standard world. And finally, I would like to show you some plans around what NuGet is thinking about doing to the product in the next coming 1 year or so. So let's do a one slide preview of what NuGet is. NuGet is a package manager for Microsoft Dev Platforms. It is the recommended way to manage dependencies going forward. And it's supported in C#, VB, F#, and C++ CLI. And there are open source projects like CoAP and stuff that have actually taken this and extended to support C++ as well. So why should you be using NuGet? You know, most of the community right now uses NuGet, but there are some holdouts. The reason you should do it is because it makes it very easy for you to share code across your team, your organization, or even your community. It allows you to have very fine-grained dependency management. It allows you to accelerate your development. Basically, think about like there's so many developers in the community and they're building these great open source libraries. Why do you have to reinvent the wheel in your team or your organization? If the licenses of those packages actually work for you, you should actually look into using them in your product and thus saving a lot of time. Finally, NuGet is open source. And we accept contributions from everyone. So at the end of the session, if you think you have some ideas, feel free to come to NuGet home in GitHub, raise an issue and raise a PR, and we'll totally consider it. So let's take a look at creating and publishing NuGet packages. First, I want to talk about the workflow, the mindset you have to be in when you start thinking about NuGet package creation. The first thing, obviously, is you have to figure out what you want to build. You know, you have a component. Some folks would like, for example, if they have these giant common API core assemblies in their product, which does not frequently change, you can think about making them NuGet packages and ingesting them in your product instead of rebuilding the solution over and over again. So once you figure out what the components are, you have to think about what tools are you going to use to build those packages. The first tool that you can think about is NuGet EXE. The NuGet team builds NuGet EXE, which is a Windows x86 command line tool that you can use to do everything from managing your sources to creating packages and publishing those packages to any repository that you want. There are some community-driven UI tools like the NuGet Packet Explorer, the new Proj project that you can use. Then you have .NET CLI, which is a modern way of building NuGet packages for ASP.NET Core and .NET Core applications. So now you have figured out which toolset that you are comfortable with using. So let's say you picked one. The next step that you do is you create a manifest for your NuGet file, for your NuGet package. This manifest describes some certain things like, hey, who's the author? Who's the owner? Where can I find more details about the package? What does my licensing model look like? And this is very important information if you want your package to be successful in the wild, especially things like tags and description. The more descriptive and the more prescriptive you are when defining these things, the better the scoring results will be if you are publishing them on NuGet.org, and it's easier for customers to discover those binaries. So once you have edited your new spec to your satisfaction, then you use one of these tools to actually package it. Now you have packaged your NuGet package. What's the next step? You gotta put it somewhere so you can share it with your teammates, across your organization, or with general public. So where you publish it depends upon this question, like who do you want to access this particular package? If it's a wider community in general, the recommended way is to go to NuGet.org. So NuGet.org is a public repository, it's a public gallery hosted by us, and we have over 54,000 unique packages, over 600,000 plus versions of those packages, and we had a total of 1 billion downloads last month. So it's an amazing place for the community to discover and get access to your packages. But what if you want to only share it within your team or your organization? In that case, we have this component called NuGet Server, which is a very lightweight web application that you can deploy into your domain, into your organization, or wherever server in your organization, and you can use that to serve and retrieve your packages. If you are a VSTS customer, VSTS has amazing package management system that allows you to create feeds, not just for NuGet, NPM, and in the future, things like Ivy, Bower, and Maven. And you can use that to distribute and store your NuGet packages. So once you define where you really want to publish, then you actually go and do the publish step. So the next set of demos that we're going to do is actually going to follow this flow. So before we get to community tools, let's take a look at creating some NuGet packages. So I'm going to open my command line. And first, I'm just going to type NuGet. So you see I have NuGet exe on my path, so when I just do NuGet, I'm able to actually get access to that executable. I'm going to navigate. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to try creating a NuGet package from a CSproj. So here in VS Code, I have a CSproj. This essentially is a Stack Overflow report creator. So our team is trying to be better at answering questions in Stack Overflow. So we build a quick dashboard that enables us to look at all the questions that come for the NuGet tags and see what our answer rate looks like. And I want to make this an open source project. So what I'm going to do right now is, you can see all my code is over here. I don't have a new spec file. I have nothing. So I'm going to navigate to that folder first. So I'm going to go to CD. Once I'm in the folder, I'm going to one level inside. Then I'm going to do NuGet spec. When I do NuGet spec, what it does is this command creates a NuGet specification file or a manifest file that you can edit. So I'm going to switch back to VS Code. And you can see there's a new spec file that was created. You can see that there are some $ID. So these are actually replacement tokens that get replaced when you actually pack your NuGet package that is built from the CSproj. And these values, some of these values you have to put in yourself, and some of these values come in from things like assembly info. So if I go to assembly info in properties, you can see the assembly version attribute. This is the value that actually gets flowed down to the new spec file when you actually pack this project. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep everything the same here. I'm going to just do NuGet pack CSproj. Let's see if that works. That actually failed, basically because author is a required field and description is a required field. So I'm going to switch back to VS Code. I'm going to change author to HuddyKM. And I'm going to replace that. And that's going to, onus is going to come from author, so I don't have to change it. And description, because I'm lazy, I'm just going to call it description. I'm going to save this file, come back, and try packing again. This time, it looks like it is working. So we're building the project, we're trying to get all the dependencies, and then finally the pack is complete. And you can see that because I'm lazy, it's pointing out that some of these values are sample values, and I should go make it better. Let's open the Explorer window for a second, and let's take a look at this NuGet package. I'm going to rename this NuGet package to just be a zip file, and let's take a look at the contents of this NuGet package. You can see there's a content folder, which essentially contains a tag file that was a part of the content in my project. You can see a lib. This is where the assembly, the Stack Overflow Reports class library is being put because I have targeted 452, so it's put in the TFM for 452. And then you can see the NuGet spec. You can see that while we packed, we actually figured out what package dependencies does your solution depend upon, and it actually inserts the dependencies here. So when you actually give this package to a customer to try out or in NuGet.org and somebody tries to install this package, what happens is all these Azure packages get restored automatically because this package depends upon it. You don't have to, reship these assemblies as part of your NuGet package. So that's pretty awesome. So you have seen a very simple way of taking a single CSproj and converting that to a NuGet package. if your CS proj has other reference projects, you can use the include reference projects option in NuGet pack to go and package those assemblies and its dependencies as well. Now let's take a look at a different scenario. In this scenario, we're going to try packing a single assembly. So I'm going to go back to my assembly folder. And let's list the contents. You can see there's a stack overflow reports.dll. So what I'm going to do next, I'm going to do a NuGet spec just like before, but here I'm going to actually say spec on stack overflow reports.dll. And let's switch back to VS Code. Here you can see a NuGet spile was created with some of the metadata from the NuGet package, from the assembly. So I'm just going to leave it just like this. But one thing you can notice here, right now, the dependencies are not filled. But if you had done it using CSPROS, the dependencies was automatically computed. In this case, it was not. So you have to fill in the dependencies yourself. But anyhow, we're just going to go try packing this. If I do a NuGet pack, let's switch back to Explorer. And you can see a NuGet package was created for Stack Overflow reports here. So you have to see two ways to actually create NuGet packages. First one, you can directly pack a CS proj. And the second one, you can pack an assembly. The third scenario is you don't really need a CS proj or an assembly for packing, but you can also do another way. You can actually have a convention-based layout. So let's see what the layout that NuGet expects is. So if I go back to projects and layout, you can see there are four folders. NuGet, if you want NuGet to pack a convention-based layout folder, it has to have these folders. Not all the folders are compulsory, but this layout is important. The build contains, in the build folder, you can drop in all the MSBuild targets that you want appended to your MSBuild project. So for example, if there's a custom task or something you have to do as part of your binary, you can add that target there. The second folder is for content that you want to get added to your to the solution or to the project that your application, your NuGet package is being installed to. This is not really supported in the project.json world or the new way NuGet manages dependencies because we don't really want to modify your project. But this still works for packages.config-based projects. The second one, then it's a lib folder. The lib folder basically contains specific folders whose names have to match known TFMs. And this would contain the TFM for that, it would contain the assembly compiled for that version of the framework. And finally, you have tools folder. These are for scripts. Again, install.ps1 is not something that's supported in project.json world, but if you're using packs.config, you can use install.ps1 to do scaffolding in your project. So I'm going to navigate to that folder again. I'm going to do a NuGet spec, switch back to VS Code, open layout, and you can see a packet spec was created. Now, just like with assembly, all I have to do is a NuGet pack, packet spec, come back here, and you can see a NuGet package was created. So it's really easy for you to actually go and build your own NuGet package. I hope after the session, you know, if you have any reusable piece of code that you want to publish to the community, you go build that package and you upload that to NuGet.org. So we have seen three ways of creating NuGet packages. There are some other community tools as well that support creation of these things, of NuGet packages. There's a NuGet Package Explorer, which is a visual way of exploring NuGet packages, as well as building those. Then there is a new spec reference generator, which enables you to generate the dependencies for your new spec. And you have NuProj, which is an advanced NuGet package creator with VS integration. The next step, since you have learned how to create very basic NuGet packages, the next step is obviously going and publishing those packages. Now let's take a look at a couple of examples how you can do it. So the first choice you have to think about when you're publishing a package is that do you want it to be public or do you want to be private? Let's say you want it to be public. If that's the case, then you choose NuGet.org. And let's see how you can quickly push a package to NuGet.org. switch back to Visual Studio, sorry, to my IE. And this is the NuGet.org home gallery. I'm going to sign in using my account. If you don't have an account, you can easily register there. But I already have signed in. I'm going to sign in here. And I'm going to go to my settings. I know you can see my API key. I'm going to reset the API key as soon as the talk is done. But here you can find an API key. The API key is your way of authenticating with NuGet.org and pushing a package. So I already have it configured. What I'm going to do is switch back to my command line. Oh, by the way, you can actually manage all the packages that you've uploaded in Manage Packages. You can see there's a bunch of packages that are listed here. One thing about NuGet is that even if I try deleting this particular package, we actually don't delete packages at all. The reason is that if somebody publishes a package and has a dependency on that package, we don't want that person to be broken tomorrow because somebody deleted that package. Our bar for deletion is extremely high, and it's actually available if you read our FAQ. But we generally never delete the packages. But what you can do, however, if you think your package has some issues, you don't want your users to use it anymore, you can hide them from search results by unlisting it. For example, I'm going to unlist this thing and click Save, and this is going to unlist that package from any custom host searches for it. Now let's try pushing one of the packages that we have created to NuGet.org. Switch back to Windows Explorer. I'm going to the CS browser that we created. Delete this particular one, package we created. Come back. And try packing again. So now I have created the same package again. If I go back here, we can see the package here. I'm going to copy my NuGet push command. This is how a NuGet push command looks like. You have NuGet, you say push, you give the package name, you give the source, which is NuGet.org here, and the API key that we saw before. So I'm just going to replace this with the name of the package. Copy this command. And hit enter. So that, okay, my bad. I didn't copy the latest key. So let me go find my latest API key. Update that over here. And try the command again. So you can see that it was successfully authenticated, and now the package is being pushed to NuGet.org. In around 30 minutes or so, the package will be available for consumption by anybody in the world. So it's really easy for you to build your own NuGet package and publish that to NuGet.org. The next scenario is, what if I want to publish my package to my team or folks within my organization? So we have a component, an open source component called NuGet Server, which is basically enables you to build a very lightweight web application that you can deploy anywhere that can be used to store and retrieve your NuGet packages. Let's try building a NuGet server instance now. You can see that I've created an empty web application here. This is as easy as going to add new project and selecting an empty web application template. First, I'm going to update its target reference, its target framework to target .NET framework 4.6. The reason is the NuGet server package requires this project to be 4.6. So I'm going to retarget. Once that is done, I'm going to go to manage NuGet packages. This is the UI in Visual Studio for building NuGet packages, for actually retrieving NuGet packages. Before this, I'm just going to do a quick cleanup, come back, go to Browse, search for NuGet.server. So I found the NuGet.server that is published by our team. I hit install. Okay. Accept. We want to replace the web.config because the web.config that we are putting in your solution has a number of properties or settings that is required for a NuGet server to work. So once that is done, I'm going to open web.config, and there's a single value I want to change. That's basically where are my packages stored and retrieved from. So I'm going to go ahead and make this into C:\ packages. Now let's try opening C:\ packages and see what's there. So if we go to packages, you see I've added no packages here. I'm going to switch back to my other machine, open Explorer, copy the package that we had created, and put in the packages folder. Now we have at least one package to serve. Now I'm going to quickly deploy this web application onto my local machine. So you can see that you're now running a local instance of NuGet server. Now I'm going to try consuming the library that I created in a WPF application. So I'm going to copy this URL, switch back to a different instance of Visual Studio that I've already created a WPF application, right-click on references. First, I got to go add this as a package source. I'm going to go to Tools, Options, search for NuGet, go to Packet Sources, add a new packet source called my server. So basically, once you have the URL, you just have to append that with NuGet. And once you append that, you can just hit OK. And now we have a new packet source that's configured to retrieve results, retrieve NuGet packages from the NuGet server instance that you had created. I'm going to go to Manage NuGet Packages, go to Browse, change the source to my server. Interesting. Let me just refresh that for a sec. Let me double check if I had made the right change. Let's try stopping and restarting this once again. Oh, it looks like, sorry, demo failed. But essentially, if that had worked, you would have been able to easily see those packages you had put in NuGet server there and reference that in your application. So we have completed NuGet server. The second way to actually publish your NuGet packages is using VSTS. VSTS has a fantastic new package manager, package management extension that you can use to manage your NPM NuGet packages, and in the future, things like Ivy, Bower, and Maven as well. Let's try creating a new feed in VSTS and upload a package to it. So I'm going to switch to my VSTS instance. I'm going to so I'm already logged into my VSTS project called NuGet. I'm going to create a new feed. I'm going to call this feed.netconf1. Hit create. So when I create this feed, it tells me, hey, my feed URL is this value. I've already installed the VSTS credential provider. This is required for you to authenticate with VSTS when you upload or work with a package. And finally, it gives me a couple of easy to use command line commands to actually go and add sources as well as push the same packages. So I'm gonna go back to my VS Code. Copy the name of this package, replace that here. Get the feed URL and replace my feed URL in this command. Copy this command and try pushing it to VSTS. So now what I'm doing is I'm pushing the NuGet the package that we have created into a VSTS feed. So now the package was successfully pushed. Now let's go back to Visual Studio, do a refresh, and you can see the package is now available in the .NET Conf feed. So all I have to do, I can easily go back to my VSTS instance, and add this as a package source and serve those packages from that feed and use that in my solutions or my products. So those are three main ways of actually using, trying to publish your packages either to public or internal team repositories or within your organization. There are also a number of other third-party repositories available, including products like MyGet, ProGet, Artifactory, Nexus repository that allow you to manage NuGet packages as well. Other package management options, you can also rehost NuGet Gallery. The NuGet.org that you see is easily rehostable by in your own domain, and you can do it, you can rebrand it, and host your own gallery. There are some more packaging scenarios that I've not gone in detail because some of these scenarios will actually take probably the whole session to go over in detail. The first one is bait and switch packages. Imagine you're trying to build a package for iOS, Android, and UWP that has to deal with credential dialogues. If you really want a true native experience, you'll have to end up using native APIs on each platform to build those assemblies. But now you have a problem. What if you want to reference that code in a PCL? You can, because they're native implementations. So what you do is you can create a reference assembly based on the, if they have a common surface area, and reference that in the PCL, and during build and running, the right native implementation is substituted instead of the reference assembly. So it's a really easy way for you to consume packages, these common packages in portable class libraries. The second one is solution level packages. In older versions of NuGet, we did support something called solution level packages. These packages could be just tools or scripts that live in the solution instead of the project level. This is no longer supported in 3.0 and above, but we are considering bringing some form of it back in the future. We have meta packages. Meta packages are packages that don't really contain anything other than dependencies. The scenario here is, let's say your SDK has 100 assemblies. Our recommendation from the NuGet team is to have one assembly per NuGet package because it's easier to manage your dependencies that way. It's also easier to have fine-grained control over how to ref those dependencies. But now you're going to have to ask your customer to probably reference those 100 packages, which is not really easy. So what you can do instead is create a meta package that lists all these other packages and dependencies and ask the customer to just reference the meta package itself. So it is much easier for them to actually consume your SDK that way. Finally, it's really easy for you to build a NuGet package as part of your build process by just adding an exec command, like shown in the screen below, on the screen here, to an afterbuilt MS build target. So these are some of the other packaging scenarios you might want to keep in mind while you're thinking about creating and publishing NuGet packages. So the next step is moving to product.json. I know there is some uncertainty about what product.json is at this point. Basically, we are looking into moving into MS Build projects, and we are planning upgraders for that. But why is product.json so more awesomer than package.config? First, you have a global packages folder. That previously, your packages folder in the package.config world was at a solution level. No longer the case. In product.json, we have a global packages folder where you can find all your packages. And that's easy because if you have multiple solutions using the same package, you don't have to restore that every single time into your own solution. The second one, even more importantly, is transitive restore. Let's say you are referencing Microsoft Azure Storage, and Azure Storage probably has a dependency on Key Vault. You've probably never heard of Key Vault. You probably have never used it. But in the packages.config world, you would see both the Key Vault as well as Azure Storage in your dependency list. So it's kind of confusing to customers, right? You're like, I'm not really referencing this dependency, but why is it there in my list? So in project.json, only top-level dependencies are represented as package references. Everything else is automatically determined and pulled down during restore. So it makes you your life of managing dependencies much more cleaner and easier. P2P dependency flow, there is no need to install reference NuGet packages referenced in reference projects into your top-level project. Those dependencies flow automatically as well. Some package creators might disagree with me on this topic, but we no longer allow you to install execute scripts during package install. This is a big security hole because a script could literally do anything. So it's no longer the case. We don't allow you to modify the project. We don't put you in unstable state. So we believe there's a right step forward for managing dependencies with NuGet. So now let's take a look at how to actually go about taking a package.config project and making a product.json project. So I'm going to switch back to Visual Studio. I'm going to open my Stack Overflow reports, which essentially is a package.config solution. Let's take a look at the package.config here first. You can see there are a number of dependencies here. So I'm going to show you a set of manual steps that you can do to actually make this a product.json-based project. So the first thing I'm going to do is delete package.config. I know it's a drastic step. I'm going to unload this project. Edit this project. I'm going to delete all these package references that you see here that has a reference to the package path. I'm going to delete all these references. Reload the project. So right now we're in a completely broken state because it has none of the references and the build is definitely going to fail. I'm going to add a new JSON file and call it product.json. So now I've created a product.json file in the root of my project. I've created the snippet. Basically, all you need here is a framework version. You need the runtimes and the dependencies of the project that I had referenced. I'm going to copy this, switch back to Visual Studio, and replace the contents of my project.json. And I'm going to click Save. Now let me unload the project once again and reload it so NuGet knows it's a project.json-based project. And try a build. let me unload once more. Sorry, I missed a brace. Unload project. Reload project. And now you can see that we're successfully restoring the dependencies you had in a project.json. So all the packages are successfully restored and there's no more build errors. So it's really easy for you to go and port your project.json project, your package.config project into project.json. And you can see all the NuGet references now shown in the reference node in Visual Studio. So these were the steps that you literally had to go through to do this. What if it was easier? What if you could do it in one step? So we have built a NuGet upgrader that hopefully we'll be able to make it available to general public sometime in the summer itself. And I'm going to show you a quick demo how to convert your projects from package.config to project.json using the NuGet upgrader. I'm going to switch back to Visual Studio and open a different version of my Stack Overflow reports. Now, I'm going to right-click and say upgrade to NuGet 3.4. So once I have that, it actually tells me the issues that it has seen. For example, it sees that the webjobs.publish has an install.ps1. And as I mentioned before, in project.json, install.ps1 will not run. So there might be a risk when you actually upgrade this package to use project.json because some things that the package needs to do won't happen. The second one also has an install.ps1. By default, we have collapse dependencies set to true. That basically means that we will not show transitive dependencies in project.json. And you can change it if you really want to have a very fine-tuned way of managing your dependencies. You can set it to flatten. We'll also tell you which NuGet packages have been included and which NuGet packages have been excluded based on our resolution. And once you're fine with this, you just click OK. And at this point, we uninstall all the packages. We add project.json. We install the required packages. The upgrade was complete. And once this is done, I'll be able to actually do this upgrade in one step. We also provide a way for you to roll this back. We don't have a global undo, but if you go to the folder, we'll provide a backup of your package.config and very soon your CS proj so that you can easily replace those contents so it just works for you. So that is how the NuGet upgrader that we're going to build is going to make it easier for you to transition your package.config projects to using project.json. So let's take a look at a little more a topic, basically about how to share code in .NET today and how it's going to be tomorrow. I'm pretty sure you've seen these slides probably in Scott Hunter's talk today and in my colleague Daniel Jacobson's talk, but let's go over it once again. So currently, for a package author especially, it's kind of hard to share code because you have .NET Framework, you have .NET Core, and you have Xamarin. And they have different base class libraries, so you have to really master a number of base class libraries, not just one. It's difficult to reuse code because the surface area that you can target is an intersection of these three platforms if you want to write one single code base that services all three platforms. It's also difficult to innovate because now we have to implement on each platform. Now, we basically have .NET standard library. So if your .NET package, for example, targets .NET standard 1.6, you're kind of guaranteed to work in a number in all these platforms supported. So you just master one base class library and you're good. There's a big surface area, there are more types and assemblies coming into .NET Core, so the surface area becomes compatible to Framework and Xamarin. So it's really easy for you to actually just write a single code base, make a NuGet package, and consume that across platforms. And .NET standard library can grow without updating platforms as well. So as a part of this, I'm going to show you a quick demo how to use .NET CLI, which is essentially a .NET command line tools, which you can download from .NET downloads. This enables you to netcore and netstandard packages within the CLI command line. So I'm going to switch back to my command prompt. Go to a .NET folder. And I'm going to do .NET new. This created a new .NET project inside my .NET folder. Let's take a look at the contents here. If I go here, open the .NET project, you can see a NuGet config file. A NuGet config file is an input to NuGet client, NuGet client code. This, you can set a number of properties here. The two properties that are set here are sources. So basically, when we try to restore packages, we are going to look at these sources to get those packages. Then a simple program.cs that has a main. And finally, the product.json acts as the new spec here. It tells us the version, the dependencies that this particular project has. Now I'm going to do .NET restore. You can see the .NET restore was pretty instantaneous. The reason for that is the global packages folder that we talked about before. Let's take a look at the global packages folder. So I go to cd. .NuGet. You can see a global packages folder with all the dependencies here. So it's really easy. The next time I start a solution that targets the same set of dependencies and provide you use product.json, you're able to instantly start building your application without having to wait for all the packages to restore. I'm going to switch back to my NuGet project folder. I'm going to do a .NET build. So you can see it's compiling solution. I'm going to do a .NET run because I can. You can see hello world's printed. And now all I got to do is do a .NET pack. This actually is going to soon call into NuGet pack itself. So as you can see, this created a NuGet package. If I go back to Explorer, go to bin, debug. You can see the symbols package over here, as well as the actual NuGet package. Let's open this and take a look at it. You can see the lib folder. You can see it's targeting that framework, and the .NET DLL is there. The new spec file had data coming from the product.json, and all that has been filled. So this is pretty amazing. So .NET CLI is a really easy way for you to make NuGet packages that target net standard. So the final topic of the day is what's next for NuGet. So we are looking into a number of improvements to both NuGet server, NuGet client, as well as our documentation. These are still plans in flight, and once they're finalized, it'll be posted in our wiki. We are planning to support SEMware 2.0.0 through the whole stack. We are going to actually release a NuGet upgrader that I showed you a demo, which basically allows you to take your packages.config project and move them to product.json. We are building a NuGet package source analyzer or source diagnostics. We get a lot of complaints from customers that, hey, they believe installing packages, browsing packages, installing updates are slow. So when we actually analyze some of this data, we realize that, hey, sometimes the customer is actually, the user is actually moving, he's working offline, then he's working online, his source is behind a firewall. And in some of these cases, because we have to get data from all the package sources before we can actually do some of these operations, we tend to slow down. So we want to provide a way that tells you proactively while you're doing these operations that, hey, things are slowing. The reason that the NuGet restore operation is slow is because this particular source is not responding or it's slow, et cetera, et cetera. So you can take corrective action. You'll be able to temporarily, disable that source for the duration of your session or permanently. So that feature hopefully will address a number of constraints customers have, complaints have about when they work online versus offline. Like Miguel mentioned today, we are working with Xamarin to have a NuGet authoring tools in Visual Studio as well, which will enable you to have a visual way of building NuGet packages in VS itself. NuGet.org, we are investing heavily in a staging feature. staging you can imagine as your own private little space in nuget.org where you can upload your package, its dependencies, and test them to your satisfaction before you commit that to nuget.org. This makes makes it less possible for folks to accidentally publish their proprietary information and stuff into nuget.org. We can also invest in the future into workflows like approvals, like in your organization, if you really want to only push a package after an approval, we can even build those workflows in the staging layer. Finally, when we did some customer development this year, we got significant feedback, especially from package authors, that our doc story is not what they expect. They want us to invest more in it. So we're going to move to docs.microsoft.com in the near future. And we're investing heavily in getting started material, getting started guides, as well as videos. For some resources, everything that NuGet does is open source. And we take PRs. So if you have issues, please go to NuGet.home, NuGet Home for all client issues, and NuGet Gallery for all NuGet.org issues. If you have an idea, feel free to open an issue. We would love to discuss it. And if you raise a PR, we would love to consider taking it as well. So that's all I had for you guys today. I hope you found this session useful. Goodbye.